3:30 this morning till about 5. She was coughing, trying to get her breath. I got up, sat on the couch and just prayed. Because I tell you what, a man that's got a godly wife has really got a treasure. And I had asked her to sing this song today. And I just believe she was being battled. You know how that when we're weak, that's when we get hit the hardest, isn't it?
Yes.
When we feel the worst, that's when we get hit the hardest. And that's when our faith in our God has to really kick in. And so I sat and I just prayed on the couch. I didn't speak any words out. I prayed from my heart. Because I love my wife. And I don't want to see anything happen to her. A man should love his wife like Christ loves his bride, his church. And I'm just so pleased that through her COPD, she's able to sing that song for the first time in several years. And it was in my spirit for her to sing that before I brought the message today. And today, if someone will give me a bulletin, I would like for you to go to the book of Mark. And I pray this message today will help strengthen you as it has strengthened me. Now, I know sometimes you may think that I'm preaching straight at you, but I'm not. I'm preaching to myself first. And this message is for all of us. And as you go to the book of Mark, the 8th chapter, we're going to go to the 22nd verse. But first of all, we're going to hold up the Word of God and we're going to say, "This is my Bible. I can do what it says I can do. Now, we will not do what it says I shouldn't do. Heavenly Father, give me ears to hear, a heart to receive. So, and a spirit to obey, that my life may be changed through the Word. Not what the preacher thinks, but what the Word says. When I go out this door, I'm going to be a better person. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what a blessing it is to see our dear brother here. I doubt if he weighs 90 pounds holding up that big heavy Bible.
Amen.
Tom, that's a blessing. Pastor Chris, that's a blessing. Fruit. Fruit for our labor here. That little baby was so sick a few weeks ago. And we prayed, didn't we, Carol? And Grandma, and Grandpa, and Great-Grandma, and Great-Grandpa, we all prayed. And now that little baby, all we want to do is eat. And I praise God for that, because she couldn't hold down anything. She was having some real bad problems. And I believe it was the hand of God and not the wisdom of the doctor that touched our little Brooklyn and our baby.
Amen.
You may think it's strange to have a title of "Don't Throw in the Towel." But you know, that's something we've all been guilty of, just ready to give up, throw it in. And somehow God gave us the energy just hang in there one more day. And the Bible says that our joy comes in the morning. But if we throw in the towel and give up, we'll never know the joy of the victory over what the enemy, Satan, wanted to defeat us with. We'll never know the joy of being successful. We'll never be able to get out of our comfort zone. We'll never rise no higher in our walk with God. When we throw the towel in, we're saying, "God's not able to keep me going." That's exactly, no, I would never say that. When you throw in the towel and you quit, whatever it is, you're saying that your God is not able to keep you going. And to me, that's blasphemy. Because I know that the God that created everything is able to take care of you and me. He's able to supply every need. And the harder the battle, the more power, the bigger the victory. And we don't need to give up and think that the enemy's getting the best of us. He cannot get the best of a God's child unless we throw in the towel.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you another thing in this message today. We're going to be talking about a town, and I don't know if I pronounce it right. It's called Bethsaida. Did I say that right? Bethsaida. This was a town that Jesus mentioned several times This town saw so many miracles of Jesus, and yet they didn't believe he was who he said he was. It's amazing today. The unbelief that's all around us. People see miracles. People see God's hand and stuff, and yet they have the unbelief that maybe we're just a little radical or we're going overboard about something. I want to tell you, and I've told you before, I do not want to be normal. I know that I'm abnormal. I'm not flowing with all the fish down the stream.
Amen.
I'm a little old fish that's swimming upstream because I know that my goal is up and not down. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I know the grass is not greener on the other side. I know that we can be tempted to think that something else is better. And that shows our unbelief. Because listen, with our God, if he gives us something to do, it will get done through our faith and not our unbelief. Let's start off reading Mark 8, 22 through 25. And Jesus come to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man, listen here, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Why would he do that? Why would Jesus take the man by the hand and lead him out of the town and get him away from Bethsaida? Why did he just heal him right there? Let me tell you one of the reasons why he took him by the hand and led him out. Because there was so much unbelief there, and all they were doing was trying to test Jesus and taunt him, because they didn't believe in the first place that he was the Son of God. Religion had got so into their heart and soul that they believed that Jesus was a blasphemer. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. It was blasphemy. And he led this man out of town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Jesus said, "Do you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." You see, he could see something. He could see something, but he couldn't see clearly. This is showing me. This is the only time in the New Testament that Jesus done the healing in stages. Sometimes we don't realize when we pray, we don't see any results. Something that's dear to our heart, and we ask Jesus for it. And we don't see the results, and we wonder, well, have I done something wrong? Or we start blaming other people for our unbelief. When God has heard your prayer, and if your heart is right with him, the answer is on the way.
Amen.
The answer's on the way. This man here, this man says, "Well, I can see men walking around, but it looked like trees to me." After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. You know, there's many of us looking down on the worldly things that we need to start looking up, because that's where our help comes from. It doesn't come from this world. This world can give us something, we can enjoy it for a little while, and then the destruction that comes after the things and the gifts of the world brings death. And without Jesus Christ, it brings us to eternity in hell.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Look up."
Amen.
And he looked up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Father, in Jesus' name, let this message reach my heart and all of our hearts and all of us listening today. And help us, Lord, to believe and trust you and to realize that sometimes we don't see the answer all at once. We don't see the healing all at once. But we know what your word says, that if we believe, all things are possible. And God, that you're working behind the scenes, you're taking care of details that we know nothing about, because you love us and you want to see us successful. You want to see us fulfill our destiny. You want to see us, God, be above the things of the world. And so, Lord, help me now. Help me now to bring forth this message in a manner that you'd be pleased with and that we all can understand it. In Jesus' name. You know, you can go some places and you can feel the dryness. You can go to a town and you can actually feel that the enemy has control of the whole area. Now, I was in an area in northeast Texas that you could just feel the demonic forces working everywhere, and you could go into a church and there was nothing. There was nothing. There was nothing that you could hold on to. When we have a church service, I want to feel and experience the power of God.
Amen.
Just like this man holding his Bible up. You know, I get to see a lot of things you don't. I can see from this angle, and you're looking at the back of everybody's head. But I can see people praising God. I can see people singing. I can see people that hold the Bible. I can see people that are worshiping the Lord in the way that they know and the way the Spirit works on them. I just praise God, but there are some places, and this was a town that was dry.
Amen.
Do you know where I'm coming from, Tom?
Yes.
I was in the area after I got saved. I thought I was going to starve to death. I finally said, well, I didn't want nobody to know, but I'm going to a charismatic church. I got to see something. I got to experience something. I got to experience something besides an opening prayer and three congregational songs and a schedule that you go by. And when you leave, you feel empty. What happened? Why don't I feel good about this? And this town was that way. Just like a town that after I got saved, I'd open up my Bible in the break room to read the word, and people would scatter from me. They wanted no part of it. I was a radical. I was becoming a radical Christian. And you know, a lot of people just don't like to rock the boat.
Right.
But you know, God calls us to rock the boat.
Amen.
God has given us something that we're to tell the world, that the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it from me. And through my God, all things are possible. I've done seen him work in my life too many times. I've seen him heal me too many times. I've seen things come from nowhere that I needed. And I didn't even have to ask for it. God would just open up the windows of heaven and bless me with it. I've seen God in my life too many times for me not to believe that he can do something that's impossible with man. It's nothing to him. And he will do the impossible if we'll simply trust him and believe. And when we can't see it right in front of us, just look out a little farther, because God is out there taking care of business on our behalf. And we are surrounded. We are surrounded by the army of a living God. Jesus, they didn't believe who he was, but you know what? Jesus loved those people, but he loved this man, because this man couldn't see. So he took him and led him out of town, got out of the unbelieving. You know what? I tell people, if you're finding fault with this church, you need to go find you one you can be comfortable in. Look, we're not here to solicit people just to come to church. Everybody's welcome. Everybody is welcome to come to this church. This church needs to be full of sinners. That's what the altars is for. That's what the preach is for. It's for sinners to get saved. And after we get saved, we need to get fed. And after we get fed for so long, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and we need to be looking towards those wonderful gifts that the Holy Ghost gives. He may not give you the same gifts as he gives me, but he's got gifts for everybody, and he will not withhold anything good from his people. Because we are loved beyond our ability to comprehend. We are loved. You are loved. And God only wants the best for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He took the man out of the unbelief. And I'll tell you what, if you are so full of unbelief, you're not going to see good things happen.
Amen.
One of the things I liked about Patty Carrico, and I'm not picking on you or anything, but Patty, you told me over and over that when you come to this church, you started seeing things.
Amen.
And you started feeling that God was in this place.
Yes.
And through that, you have grown.
Yes.
Through that, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Is that when we start believing that God's going to meet us here, and you walk in here expecting some of these people right here, and most of us come expecting something.
Yes.
Something that's not ordinary. Something that watching the TV can't give us. Something that listening to the radio can't give us. Something that a church that's not on fire for God can't give us. But I believe you've come. You've come because, like Patty, you see God working here. You see God working in a lot of afflicted people, even your pastor. You see God here, and your belief is what is helping all of us, me included. When we come believing, it's helping me finish my journey and fulfill my destiny that God had for me. No, God's not going to withhold anything good from you, but sometimes you need to be careful about the company you keep.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the people we call our friends, and they give us all this advice and everything, they're not really your friend. Or if a person don't tell you, you got to go to Jesus, something wrong.
Yes.
And you got to come out of that unbelief. And you got to get on your knees. If you'll notice, I got on my knees right here. I got on my knees before God because I knew that Nikki had the most difficult song to sing with her COPD. And I believed, if I get down on these knees, bone on bone, get down there and pray for my wife, that God's power was going to help her. She didn't do it because she's got all this talent. She done it because God stepped in through our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants to do for you. That's why Brooklyn is eating and doing good now. Because when you brought her up here, glory to God, and we prayed for that child, I know good and well that God heard our prayer. And the Bible says, let the little children come unto me. And you brought that child in faith. Carol, you brought that child in faith, and we prayed for that family. And that baby's going to be all right. That's going to be a special baby because she is in a Holy Ghost place that's going to affect her for the rest of her life. Glory to God.
Amen.
Jesus. Jesus was able to heal this man with one touch. But he didn't do it. And part of the reason is because 2,000 years later, there was going to be places of worship that people are going to have to understand that when we pray believing, but sometimes we have to wait for the complete job.
Amen.
We have to wait. And you know what? If you've got to see every time you pray, you've got to see something, then you're praying for the wrong reason.
Amen.
because you're praying selfishly. When I pray, I thank God for what He's given me, and if He sees fit to give me something else, I don't have to beg God for my healing. I don't have to beg God to take this pain away. I just have to trust Him that He knows that I'm in pain. I trust Him, and I know that He knows what I'm going through, and therefore, it's fine with me just to brag on Him and thank Him for what I got. I can still walk. I need to be thankful I can still walk. I don't need to be finding little things wrong with this body. I told Nikki this morning, we're dying. All of us, these bodies are dying. There's going to be things that happen to them. And we can't walk around worried about it. You live up here. They took a sample here, and I got to go back. They say I've got cancer, and they're going to have to take a big piece out. I ain't worried about it, because I know I'm going to live until Jesus says, come home. I want you in heaven more than I want you down there. And that's how we walk. We walk trusting and believing. And even though if doubt tries to get in our mind, let me tell you something. We all go through that period of doubt. We all go through periods of weakness. But you must believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has all power. Jesus said, the Father, all power has been given unto me by the Father. And I want you to know, don't give up. Don't give up. If you're facing a real hard battle, don't throw in the towel. Grit your teeth and hang on and trust God. Because His plans are good. His desire is for you to bring forth much fruit, not for your glory, but for His glory. I thank God I'm a child of God. I thank God that there's a Father that knows my hurt. I thank God that He knows every detail about each and every one of us. He sees the things that we're battling.